Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
Hey, I'm Roberta Blevins, and this is Life After MLM, a podcast where we work to end the stigma of failure in an industry designed for you to fail. Hey, welcome to Life After MLM's Lula Rich companion series, Lula Bitch, a place you can come to find all the tea and everything that was left on the cutting room floor. You're about to hear the personal accounts of the people affected by the MLM LuLaRoe. These stories are our own personal opinions, accounts, and allegations of our experiences within the cult. Some stories may be triggering. Please listen at your own discretion. Okay, so this is an interview that I've been waiting to do for a long time, and I think that a lot of people are going to be really excited to hear from you. So I would like to introduce, with no further ado, my friend, Lachey.
Hey, everybody. I am currently at the salon getting my hair done, but I had to do this meeting, so here I am in all my glory.
Hello.
And this would be my hairstylist.
Hey. I know I open up the Zoom meeting and I'm like, wait a second, you're getting your hair done.
Yeah, so that's Shauna. She does my hair because everybody's always asking me about my hair. So that's who does my hair. So when you guys
have great hair,
see this, you guys know, you guys can reach her at Signature Curls.
So obviously we're going to talk about the documentary and all of that stuff. What we're going to talk about first is how LuLaRoe even came into your life. Like, how did you even hear about this and how did you decide to work there?
I had got an email about LuLaRoe, this company starting out, and they had sent me some information about it and I looked at it and I said, okay. So I sent them my resume and they contacted me 3 days later and I was working at LuLaRoe 2 days after that.
Wow. That's like insanely fast.
Yes, and this was in the beginning. Like, this is before they had, all we had was the office where everybody came. This was before it was even, like, big. So it was just a few people, and we had the one building that said LuLaRoe on the building right there off the freeway that everybody went so crazy about at that time.
And so was this 2015, 2016?
2015.
Okay. So you start working at LuLaRoe and you are put into the onboarding department.
At first I started out as an emailer and then I was contacted by Deanne's husband because he asked me how I knew my way around the computer and I explained to him. And then he came to me and asked me about an idea about having an onboarding team. And at the time, Megan was my boss at the time. And they asked me how I felt about if they came up with a team for onboarding. And it was supposed to be a trial run. It was never supposed to turn out the way that it did. So it was a trial run because when we started onboarding, you have to realize it was LuLaRoe. We started out with five people. So that's where the name Fab Five came from.
Okay.
As so, everybody remembers. Yeah.
The onboarding team was called the Fab Five. So correct. How long until like when you started working at LuLaRoe did you become like in part of this onboarding team?
Within 3 months.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And the need for the onboarding team was just that there was so many people joining that you had an entire department.
Well, so many people were joining and they wanted to be a part of LuLaRoe so bad, but they didn't have what it took to make you. So, I mean, of course you had to buy your inventory. You had to go through a whole process. The problem with going through the process, they had nobody to put all these people that were so reluctantly to join LuLaRoe. They had nobody to start the process. So they came up with a team that came up with an algorithm, which changed every 6 months, as you guys can remember, because home office would be a mess sometimes and it would be crazy. So they came up with an algorithm to come up with onboarding people. And it started out like it was okay in the beginning. And then as more people joined it, then we had a certain amount of time. So we had 10 minutes to talk to you, build a rapport with you, get your money and onboard you. But it didn't always turn out that way because people were so happy to talk to us. And, you know, it was kind of hard to take $5,000 from somebody that I don't know and go to the next person, because that's what it was in the beginning. So then I told Mark, we need to go back to the drawing board because you have this company and all of these people want to know who we are behind the phone that they're talking to. And I remember getting emails. So I came up with an idea. Before that, I never even had Facebook. So I came up with this idea with Facebook and I made a Facebook. And it just went off from there because everybody was just so happy. Oh, I want so-and-so to onboard me. I want so-and-so to onboard me. And then they came up with a thing where you can come and tour home office, but you had to be at a certain level to come and tour home office. And then it got to a point where I want to see where all the magic happens. I want to see where Shay sits. And I would literally come back to my desk and there would be shit everywhere, all over my desk. It'd be unicorn poop, gifts here, cookies, cakes, and pies from people I didn't know, but they were just so happy to see where I sat. And it was crazy. And people didn't believe me at first because it got to a point where I had to have security when we went to all the big, when we would go on to stuff, they would have to get the onboarding team security because it was crazy.
I mean, how do people not realize this is a cult?
In the beginning, what I will say is Mark and Deanne, I give them full credit. They did their shit. Was it a pyramid scheme? Yes, but they did it a different kind of way. They did it to a way where they really had people really drinking the Kool-Aid and people were really believing in it. And it wasn't that I was drinking the Kool-Aid. I had a job and I got paid very good money, as we all knew. It wasn't no secret, so I'm not going to try to hide it. But I mean, it is what it is.
Wow. So run me through a typical day, during the busy season when you were onboarding so many people. What was your day? What would that look like?
My day started every day at 6 a.m. because, you know, the time zone. So we had people in Hawaii, Puerto Rico, and we weren't internationally yet. So we have people trying to do it internationally. So that's where the second onboarding team came from, because they got to a point where they said, we can't just do it here. Let's take it internationally. And it went there. So a day would start out at 6 a.m. I didn't allow calling until 7. Because because once calling started, that was it. You guys would come, call, and it would be crazy. And I literally walked around with earpieces in my ear all day long because I had so many calls coming in and going out. So I couldn't just ignore them. And then the people that I did know, of course, they would email me and they needed something done. So, of course, I would do what they needed done.
What is the highest number of people you onboarded in one day?
I onboarded about, I want to say close to 100 people in one day.
That's insane.
Yeah.
And how do you even get that many people?
They had an algorithm that was really good. Their IT team, when they started this, they did a lot of thinking because their shit was on point. They had an IT team. They had a team for everything. So when something didn't go right, it was fixed right then and there. Yes, it would shut down and you guys couldn't onboard, but it would be maybe no more than a day. I mean, and that would send you guys in a frenzy, but our so many people was trying to onboard. I was taking, at this point, I was taking $10,000 from each person I onboarded. So you do the math. And that was just my team. That was just my team. So it got to a point where I would work from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. And even at 7 p.m., Mark would be waiting for me because he wanted us to come up with another idea. How could we onboard more people? And then it got to a point where I would just, if they had family members and friends, then I was onboarding them. Because they didn't have to wait. You guys had, because it was a 3-month wait. You had to wait 3 months unless you knew somebody. That was the only way you got onboarded. And I knew that because I was the person that did it.
Yeah, I remember that. I was in the queue for probably 6 weeks at least.
Yeah. And I have everything. Like I kept all of my stuff. I kept everything. But I mean, it was what it was. He would come and say, hey, I have my niece and so-and-so and so-and-so. And I would go and onboard them and then get back to whatever my list was for the day or whatever I had to do for the day.
That's so crazy because, like, you know, you hear all the time that people are like, I know there's special privileges, and you talk to retailers and they deny it. But it's like, you're telling me right here that there were special privileges even to get onboarded.
There were the right person, because I was the person you came to for them. I mean, I pretty much, the whole family, it is what it is. For the most part, I mean, did they do a good job? I got to give them their credit because they were making a shit ton of money. $1 million a day is a shit ton of money. I don't care who you are. It's a shit ton of money. And they were making it. And just as fast as they was making it, they were spending it. Fancy trips, private jet rides, all the speaking, all of that. That shit costs money. And all, you know, Vision. People were paying $500 to go to Vision. It was crazy. And then even after, it was not only that, I was just like, I saw people making $10,000 a month. And I was like, why am I still in home office? What the fuck am I doing? I might as well become a consultant. And that's how I became a consultant. And then even then, the bid for me then was high because I had so many coaches. Well, where are you going to go? Or we'll fly you out here. Come here. And I had already picked right from the beginning. I knew I was going to go with Brittany Hunter. I knew from the beginning. I liked everything. She had vision, the way she runs her team. Even now, even though LuLaRoe's a crock of shit, she still makes a shit ton of money and she's still doing her thing. So I don't have anything bad to say about her, because when it was time for me to buy my inventory, the Hunter family paid for every penny of my stuff.
Wow. I did not know that.
Did not know. So that is not hearsay. You heard that from me. Brittany Hunter paid for my inventory, my first inventory, and she bought me whatever I wanted in the beginning.
Now, do you think that's because she knew that people would want to be underneath you? Did you grow a team too?
I grew a team. I did. I got a watch. The only thing I didn't do was the cruise, because I just, everything happened for me so fast. And then, you know, they're Mormon. So at the end of the day, I'm going to look at it as I'm Black. And I'm not saying there aren't any Black Mormons. I just don't know of any. And we're not allowed in their church. It's just that simple. I'm not going to sugarcoat it, because I would get invited to all the weddings from everybody. And I would just, one day I had to tell them, you guys stop giving me wedding invitations, because you guys know I can't go in the church, and I'll see you guys at the reception. I wasn't mad. I was never mad, because I knew I wasn't going to convert. I mean, to each its own religion. I don't knock nobody's religion, but I'm Christian and it is what it is. Did I drink the bullshit that they had? No, I was there to make my money and that's it. And did I become a consultant? I did. And did I make good money? I did. But then I just started seeing shit that wasn't right. And people were emailing me and I was just like, I didn't see that. So I started to do my own investigation. I wasn't going by hearsay or because somebody told me. I did my own stuff. And that's how I found out the things that I found out.
Right. I remember back, because you and I believe you were the one that onboarded me.
I did onboard you.
Okay. Because that's what I thought. And then I remember meeting you for the very first time at 2016
and that picture.
Convention.
Correct.
Do you have a picture of that?
I do have a picture. No. And I was I will go through it. I have everything from every convention, everything I was flown out to, everything I ever spoke to. See, Black people, we have this thing and it's called receipts. And we
I have receipts too.
Yeah, I know y'all got them, but I mean, when I say we keep them because, you know, we already got a strike against us. So when I say we keep receipts, we keep them to save our ass at the end of the day. And I like, I have everything, which was why I knew nobody was never going to like call me, harass me, or send me threats because they already knew what time it was. Don't let that little job get y'all fucked up. Don't get it messed up. I, you know, LuLaRoe was good to me. But I wish y'all would send me threats, like all of that. And y'all had to deal with threats and stuff. No, I didn't have to deal with none of that because they already knew what time it was.
Oh my God, I love you so much.
Yeah. Yes, they were threatening people. People was like, Shay, are you getting threats? Hell no, I ain't getting none.
Yeah, people ask me, they're like, hey, have you ever gotten like a cease or desist or, you know, like you speak out about these companies? And I was like, everything I say about these companies is true. If they're going to sue me, they're going to have to prove that what I'm saying isn't true. Then they can't.
Deanne knows. She knows. And a lot of people that are still working for LuLaRoe, they were like, you are such the talk of LuLaRoe right now. It's crazy.
And me? I didn't know we're gonna- or you? Or just all of us in general.
Yeah, because they were saying our face was on the trailer and they were just like, so everybody was like, are you going to talk about this? I said, no, I don't never say that. I still talk to you guys that actually still work there. I would never do that. But they were telling me that we're the talk right now. Like everybody's talking about it. Like, are you going to watch it? And she said, everybody in home office and everything's going to watch it.
Of course they are.
I know
they are. Because they know the truth.
I want you guys to watch it good so I could get the bag. September 10th.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I want you guys to watch. I remember when they came to me and was like, you better not say nothing. Because I was going to say, behind all the glitz and glory, like all you guys see is what Deanna and them put. You don't know what it takes for all you guys to go on all these trips. You don't know what it takes in home office. And it was stressful because people were being stressed out. Like having to get time off from work and all kind of stuff. Like, and it was bad because Mark, he ran a tight ship. He was always, can you come up with an idea for this? Can you come up with an idea for that? And I did because it was my job and we were good at it. So it was just like, and our compensation was good. Like when we got our incentives and our bonuses, our bonuses was always cash and we got really nice gifts. So don't get me wrong. They took damn good care of us. Flew us everywhere. Yeah. Took us everywhere. We had good shit. I got a watch. You know, I don't wear my watch. I ought to go turn it in and see if I could get some money for it. But yeah, it was just like, it was good. When they first asked me to speak, I was shocked. Because I was just like, but Deanne said they get, everybody's always asking, who is Shay? Who is Shay? So when she came to me, she walked into home office and she said, who is with Shay? And I stood up and that's when we began to build a rapport. She said, I hear a lot about you. She said, no matter where I travel, she said, I hear your name all the time. So I needed to come meet the face that's making me money. Like she got at me really well. But as time went on, I saw what it was and I did my own investigation and I just said, okay, I got to get the hell up out of here. Yeah, she was off the chain.
So what were some of the bonuses that you got for onboarding people?
Oh, so we were getting $1,000 for like every 50 people. And then we got free clothes. Like, so I didn't pay for any of my clothing. So the first time I met Deanne, I met her. I had got the job at LuLaRoe and I would hear about her. Like I would hear about this white lady with this blonde hair. Well, of course I started there, so I didn't have any LuLaRoe. So I would come to work in Chanel. And one day, everybody knows the story. We were walking in the hall and she passed me. She had on this bright red lipstick and she had on these Gucci glasses and she pulled her glasses down. And she said, you're not wearing LuLaRoe. I said, I know, it's Chanel. She marked me right into that warehouse and she gave me a shit ton of stuff for free and made me change right then and there.
What?
That was my first encounter with Deanne.
I mean, I have heard that story. but
I know everybody still, has to hear
it. Even when I hear it, it's still like unbelievable.
Black girl there. Like, it's not, everybody was like looking out the window in home office like, oh yeah, oh yeah, it's about to go down. I know who she was. I didn't, at the time, I didn't even know she was the owner. She was just like, that's not LuLaRoe. Yeah, I know, it's Chanel. And everybody like turned and looked at me. At the time, I didn't know that it was GM. So
funny. Oh man. Yeah, you told me that story when we were sitting in the park doing the Vice documentary. So
yes, when I did the documentary for Vice.
Yeah. So basically what happened was Vice, you know, reached out to me and they were like, hey, we're gonna do this documentary. Do you have any contacts of people that work at home office? And I reached out to like three or four people that I knew. And Shay was the only one that was available that day. And we met at the little park where she lives. And her and I sat and had this really long conversation that they filmed. And I was like, but none of it came with, none of it was in the Vice documentary. We were with you for like 2 hours or more. And you're only in it for like, I don't know, a minute and a half. And they mostly focus on your fingernails.
I know, everybody was like, Shay, the whole documentary was focused on your nails. Who do you get your nails done? Who do you get your hair done? That's why I said, this time around, I'm going to make sure everybody knows who does my hair.
It was so funny. But yeah, I remember sitting and doing the Vice documentary with you and being like, yes. And then when it came out, you know, you were barely in it. And I remember you reaching out to me and saying, hey, that was really fun. And it felt really good to tell my story. If anything comes up again, please think of me. And I was like, of course. And then I remember when the documentary people reached out to me last summer, I think you were the first or second person that I reached out to. I was like, they want us again. Are you in?
I'm down. I was like, yeah. Well, you know why? Because I have people reaching out to me and they were like, Shay, how come you won't speak out? How come you won't come forward? We know you know something. And it was just like, and then it just started to be like, you know, people that were, I made a lot of friends at LuLaRoe. I made a lot of friends. I'm still friends with them. So I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to do it because I know what really happened and it is what it is. I was never scared. I just didn't care at the point because I wasn't there. But then I was like, I had all these people that were my friends and that I knew, and I was just like, all right, I'm in, fuck it.
No, and I'm just like, I'm so happy that you were in this one too. I'm so happy that I didn't, you could just tell more of your story, you know?
The trailer, when they dropped the trailer, I didn't have a phone for like 2 days. So when I finally got my phone and I like hooked it, cause you know, I had to go to Apple cause you guys were just like gonna slay me to death. You, between you, my son and everybody else. I'm like, okay, I'll get an Apple. And when I turned it on and hooked up everything, all these messages, and everybody was like, why didn't you tell us you were going to do the show and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, I wasn't really supposed to say anything. So I didn't
know, because
I wasn't supposed to say anything. We were supposed to keep quiet and that's what we did. So
yeah, that's true. We weren't really supposed to say anything. They told me that I could hint that I had a project coming out, but I wasn't allowed to say what it was or what it was about or
I didn't even hint.
Who it was
I
with.
I didn't want to hint because then everybody would be asking like, what are you up to? And I didn't want to have to lie. So I was just like, I'm just going to be quiet. Very few knew I was shooting. No, but I would be real quiet. I would like leave work. I would leave Puma, go shoot.
Yeah, no one was surprised when I said I was working on a project. No one was like, geez, I wonder what it is. They were like, of course she is. But if you had said that, they would have been like, it's a LuLaRoe thing.
Like, yeah, because everybody knew. That's what I said. And I was like, I can't say anything right now because everybody's going to know what it is.
Walk me through being in the documentary. Like, how was it for you? How did that go? What was that like?
I mean, it was cool. It was long. I don't know if TV's my thing. It was long, long, long. But it wasn't bad. I felt pretty good, like, telling my side. They were funny. They wanted me to, like, divulge all the secrets. Like, they were like, we knew it was going to be juicy when you came in here, your attitude, we loved it. Is it true? And I was like, oh yeah. And they were like, you're okay with saying that? And I'm like, yeah, because it's the truth. I mean, what is she going to say that didn't happen? I was there. I mean, all the time we'd be traveling everywhere, you'd be high as fuck. That's the truth. You were just, but I'd probably be high like that too if I had to deal with all these people. I probably, not to her, not high like her. Now let me take that back, because once this goes out, that's I can't
allegedly
get it back,
so. Allegedly
high. There we go. Yeah,
allegedly so. High on alleged pharmaceuticals from La Farmacia.
Everybody knows Deanne went to Mexico for everything. If you worked at LuLaRoe and you had a position like me, plain and simple, they didn't want big people working there. I didn't say she didn't like big people. She didn't want people working there. And if you had a position high enough like me, you were offered to go to Mexico. They would fly you on a jet and you could get the surgery, because I had a few friends that got the surgery. That's not no secret. She got the surgery herself.
And I have lots of people that had it too.
Yeah, I know you guys do. I can for sure say it, like at least 10 people I know. So to each their own. If you want to lose weight to work for somebody, I mean, to each their own. She never did ask me to go lose weight or anything like that. She asked a couple of people I knew. I was like, girl, you crazy. But I mean, everything was by looks there. When you get like a lot of people don't know, when you get high up, looks are everything. Like for the type of position I had, if you didn't look a certain way, she would come to you and let you know, like, hey, I love that you're doing a great job, but, and she had a way of saying it straight up. Like, it wasn't no secret. Oh, wow. And I knew people that got surgery.
I always thought it was really odd because they touted themselves like body positivity and women empowerment.
Yeah,
and carry size up to 3X.
I noticed that when we would have our meetings last week, because we would have to have this meeting and they would play this video. It was like they were brainwashing us. But you know, you can't really brainwash Black people too much, no, because we're going to get to thinking like, okay, all y'all. So just like I wasn't going on the cruise. I mean, I love all you guys, but I'm not going in the middle of the ocean with a boat full of white people. I'm cool. I told her, I hope she didn't feel no kind of way. I thank you for my check. I thank y'all for my nice watch. But the cruise, I was like, no, I'm cool. And that's why Megan was my boss at the time, was able to go, because I didn't want to go. And she was like, are you really going to give me? I was like, girl, go join them people. Because I didn't feel like at the time I was still new. I didn't know them like that. I just know I did a good job and I was offered all this stuff. And most of the time I took it, but that cruise, I'm cool. Y'all can keep that.
The cruise was a little culty.
I know it was culty. You didn't have to tell me. I saw all the shit that they was doing. And I mean, don't get me wrong. I was grateful, but I'm not into the cult, all of that.
You know, I didn't earn the cruise. I was gifted the cruise. My mentor gifted me the cruise, and I went, my ex-husband and I went together, and I was already very like disenfranchised and not really into everything that was happening, because this was in 2017. And I remember thinking, well, this is a free vacation and I can just wear a bathing suit and like regular clothes. And because our cruise was half normal people and half LuLaRoe. And so we just found spots where mostly normal people were hanging out and we just hung out there. And I didn't go to any of the events. I didn't go to any of the meetings. I only went to like one. It was like a team thing just to show my face, because they had given me the ticket. Just be like, right. See, I went to stuff. But that was the only thing I went. And at that meeting, I had a teammate who was, I think, lateral, but had a different upline, but we were like on the same level. She came up to me and I was talking to her and she looked amazing. And I asked her, I said, oh my God, what have you been doing? You look incredible. She had this new bathing suit on and she was rocking it, super body positivity. And she was like, oh, I went down to Tijuana and I got the surgery in Mexico. And I was like, and my face fell from being like, oh my God, what have you been doing? To like, oh,
yeah, I had heard rumors. Drinking the Kool-Aid.
Right. I had heard rumors, but this was the first time someone I knew had like said it to me. And she's like, did you want to get it? I can get you more information if you're interested. And then she called over Kira and she goes, Kira, tell her all about the surgery. Cause she had had it too. And
I know.
I was like, oh my God. And I just felt like, oh my God, how do I get out of this? Like, how do I walk away from this conversation without being so rude?
Like, you don't want to be part of that. Surgery or be pregnant. It was, they pushed pregnancy on you like it was crazy. Yeah. I remember at one point, it was probably out of everybody in home office, it was probably like five of us who weren't pregnant. I was like, we're going to walk through the doors of LuLaRoe and get knocked up just for walking through the doors. That's how bad, because everybody was pregnant at the time. I mean, everybody was pregnant.
I remember and hearing stories about the obsession of people's marriages and relationships. Like home office was always so obsessed with who we were with and what we were doing.
And I didn't understand that. They were obsessed with people's relationships. People were obsessed. So look it. So you know you in the salon, so I have all my black people here. So
hey, I'm a hairstylist. Like, I get it.
Yeah, she's a hairstylist. But I'm just letting y'all know. So everybody, I don't want y'all to think like, you know, they know that I was taking this meeting. So they know I'm on here. I'm not hiding it. So please, whatever this is how they feel. So just respect, because people want to know where in the fuck y'all working at. That's basically what it is. They like, wait, where are y'all working at? But this is what we had to deal with all the time. It was either pushing the weight loss surgery on you or being pregnant. And we had baby showers there, like it was crazy. I said, damn, I'll go get pregnant just so I can have a baby shower, because she would take care of the team like that. But then you would just start to see things, and you started to notice shit that was like, And gradually I started to fall back. And then when they offered me the position for the financial team, I was like, I couldn't do it.
So what was your final straw? Like, what made you decide that LuLaRoe was too crazy and you needed to get out?
God, they're going to be so mad. They are going to be pissed. So I had a flash drive.
Oh, God.
And I did my homework. And I just needed to see for myself. I mean, just as you were saying, you heard rumors. I would hear things too, but I needed to see for myself, because here I am. I'm taking tons of money from people. People were selling breast milk. People were literally selling their breast milk so that they could have money to onboard. And when I was finding out shit like that, I got to a point to be saying, it's not that serious. People were taking loans out on their homes. People were taking loans out, period, like messing up their credit. People's marriages were failing, and people were emailing me, and it was coming by the abundance. At first, it would just trickle in, you know, and I would read it and stuff, and I would call them because I would reach out to them because I had onboarded this person. But then it started to come in abundance, and they were just saying these things. So I did my homework, and her son that was on the IT team at the time, let them know, like, hey, Shay has a flash drive and she records everything she does. And they called me in the office and they asked me, and I told her yeah, and she asked if she could have a flash drive, and I said no, because you guys had to buy my contract. So see, when I didn't get hired like everybody, you guys came to me, you bought my contract, so therefore all that null and void and cease and desist, that doesn't apply to me. So I can say whatever the fuck I want when I want to, especially if it's the truth, because what are you gonna do? You can't do anything. And that's what it was.
Oh,
and see, they knew. And when they asked me, that's when her son asked me to take over his department, because he wanted to relax, you know. Mm-hmm. So he was like, I just want you to take over and we'll pay you $35 an hour. That was the thing. I thought about it. It took me 7 days to think about it, because I thought about it. I work from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. That's $35 an hour plus all my bonuses. I'm winning. But at the end of the day, it wasn't worth it, all the shit that I was getting in return. And the one that was enough for me is when they came out with the black monkey leggings. And
oh,
I had to,
my God.
Yeah, I was pissed leggings. Off about that. I had to be the one. And why did I have to be the one to say something? I shouldn't have never been the one. I ran the onboarding department. So
Never left the art department. Like, they should have been like completely canceled the second someone looked at them.
Even put black monkeys, face monkeys like that on there anyway. And I told them that, and I said that. So when the shit hit the fan, that's why I was like, that's a lie. You guys are lying, because I told you when I got the leggings, I was like, if you guys thought that I was going to sell these black monkey leggings, no. What do I look like selling black face monkeys like that? And it was like the lips and all of that. I was so upset.
They were the most disgusting leggings I have ever seen.
And then I told her, that was when I said, you need to go the next time you have your meeting, you need to make and go. I want everybody, you need to make it national. Everybody that got the leggings, you need to return them. And that's how that came out. Cause I was like, I told her, I'm offended. I'm one of your top people here. And you got leggings with black face monkeys on it. You done lost your damn mind.
Yeah. And you know, what's even worse at the, there were retailers, like, because they were recalled, right?
And, you
and
know,
there were retailers, you know, that were still selling them because people are like, yeah, I still want them, even though they're recalled. I'll pay double, I'll pay triple.
Erica, she was like, well, I don't understand what's the problem. They are so cute. And I'm looking at her like, you be quiet. Because you're in here, you're married to somebody. So I get it, you're a stidham, but you be quiet because you don't, you, every time I see you, you're pregnant and ain't shit cute about it. I was irritated that day.
Shay gonna make y'all show. Oh Lord.
That was okay. And I told her I was offended. And I mean, she did recall them, but like we had to have a big like powwow at home office. It was crazy. That's where I said, you guys really thought that was a good idea to put some black face monkeys on some leggings and sell them? Come on now.
Have you ever been the victim of identity theft or been harassed and scammed by annoying spam and robocalls and you're wondering, how do they even get my information? This is why privacy matters, because our personal information is everywhere on the internet, making us easy targets. The volume of personal data available online has tripled between 2019 and 2023. The good news is that you can protect your data with DeleteMe, a subscription service that removes your personal info from the largest people search databases on the web, and in the process, helps prevent potential identity theft, doxing, and phishing scams. To put it simply, DeleteMe does all the hard work of wiping you and your family's personal info off the web. After a quick and easy sign-up, you input as much information as you can remember into the prompts, and DeleteMe immediately goes to work scrubbing all of your personal information from data broker platforms so your personal and private information is no longer theirs to profit from. DeleteMe then sends you regular personalized privacy reports showing you what they found, where they found it, and what they removed. I was floored. Trust me, I forgot a ton of past home addresses and they still came up on my report. Old email addresses I didn't remember, past phone numbers from 20 years ago. It was wild. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for DeleteMe. Now at a special discount for our listeners. Today, get 20% off your DeleteMe plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/MLM and use promo code MLM at checkout. The only way to get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/MLM and enter code MLM at checkout. joindeleteme.com/MLM. I've got this whole eating fancy while at home thing on lock with Cook Unity, and you can join me by visiting cookunity.com or entering code MLM before checkout for 50% off your first week. I live in sort of a rural area east of San Diego, and so I don't really get to step out of my culinary comfort zone as often as I'd like to. And if you're a foodie too, you know how expensive exploring the local food scene can get and how hard it can be to find the time and the energy to venture out of your neighborhood. I love our small town spots, but it can get boring pretty fast. I've tried a lot of food services and meal kits, and by far, Cook Unity is my favorite. While others can be labor-intensive or food-restrictive, Cook Unity left me feeling satisfied, satiated, and smiling. You guys know how much of a workaholic I am. You listen every week. Cook Unity got me excited to take a break and enjoy a delicious hot lunch from the comfort of my own home without leaving, and it was less expensive than a trip through the drive-thru. The meals were delicious, easy to reheat, and every single one of them was a hit that I would reorder. I love the variety, the flavors, and the fact that we can support local chefs. The rustic-style French beef ragu was so delicious. I paired it with some leftover garlic bread that I had from dinner the night before, and I practically licked the plate clean. If you'd like to support the show and join me in experiencing chef-quality meals every week delivered right to your door, go to cookunity.com/MLM or enter code MLM before checkout for 50% off your first week. That's 50% off your first week by using code MLM or going to cookunity.com/MLM. I got my newest Quince order in the mail. Want to join in on the fun? Visit quince.com/MLM for free shipping and 365-day returns. Y'all know I am a sucker for fashion in the worst way. I think most of you who listen know that. And from the second that I saw Quince's $50 Mongolian cashmere crew neck sweater, I knew that I needed one. I've never owned cashmere because it's always felt just out of reach. But it's spring, so we're cleaning out the old to make room for the new, and I'm upgrading my wardrobe with a new, super soft, lightweight, classic cashmere sweater. It is perfect for just about any time of the year and occasion. And I paired mine with some skinny jeans, and I wore it to all of the podcast industry parties at Evolutions this past week. It is a luxury essential at an unbeatable price. Truly, you are getting 70% off the luxury brands on 100% grade A Mongolian cashmere. Unreal. Quince's quality cashmere is incredibly long-lasting, it's 3 times as warm as wool, and it's sourced sustainably and ethically from goats in Inner Mongolia, and then it's ethically produced in China. Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. And coming from my past, I absolutely love to hear that. There's a reason that this sweater has a 4.9 star rating with over 11,000 reviews. It comes in 21 colors, 5 sizes, and it won't break the bank or your heart. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/MLM for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/MLM to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/MLM.
National Voter Registration Day is kind of a big deal. It's a yearly, nonpartisan holiday celebrating our democracy, and it's all about getting as many people as possible to, that's right, register to vote. So why is that important right now? Well, sure, local and state elections may not get as much attention as the midterms or the presidential elections, but they're still a super important way for you to use your voice to make an impact and help shape the future of your community. And one of the best parts? Registering to vote is really easy thanks to organizations like Headcount. Get registered there in minutes and you won't have to worry about registration deadlines in your state. And then you'll be ready to participate in all of your upcoming local, state, and federal elections. That really is a big deal. Head to headcount.org/Spotify now to register. That's headcount.org/Spotify. See you at the polls.
Oh my God. Anybody that wants to see these, literally, if you just Google LuLaRoe sock monkeys, you will find them. It is disgusting. And yeah, it shouldn't have happened. They shouldn't have even gone out, but they did. And then I still get comments on my TikTok when I talk about leggings and prints of people that are like, remember the sock monkeys? And then there'll be comments of people that are like, I own a pair. And I'm just like, I can't
and
even
I told
right
them,
now.
And I told any, and I had told Brittany too. I was like, anybody that's on your team, I know you're the coach and I'm just new, but I was like, any, I had went on Facebook and I put anybody, if I'm on Pumped Up Kicks, if you got the leggings, you need to return them to home office because I will personally take them in for you and I will make sure that you get your money back. I told them, even if I had to give you the money back, because I was so pissed when that happened.
Yeah. I can't. It's like the people just don't understand.
No, they don't understand. Everybody saw the glitz and glory. You saw us riding in a private jet and going from place to place and having all this, but y'all didn't see the shit that was behind all the glitz and glamour, though.
Jesus.
Yeah, they didn't see all that. They didn't know that we had to have a morning ritual every morning where they made you watch this video and flooded you with like all this like sad shit. So to make you want to help people. But I was just like, okay, this is what we're doing. And the deaf girl was the straw for me. I'm like, you guys put the deaf girl on here, but it's whatever. If that's how y'all gonna run y'all business, y'all paying me $26 an hour. So let's get this money and fuck it.
Jeez. Okay. So I remember a story that you told me back when we were filming Vice. And I don't know if you told it in the documentary. Again, we're recording this before it's out, so we don't really know, but maybe you can tell it here. And then that is the story of the woman and her mother and the onboarding.
Yep. Oh, okay. So I had this lady. Oh God. Everybody's. So I had this lady and I had onboarded her and I won't say her name because they prefer it that way, but She became really good and successful in LuLaRoe. And during her time at LuLaRoe, she became sick. We became really, 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 really good friends. And her daughter at the time had been in this bad relationship, and her husband had took everything and left her with the kids. So of course she talked her daughter into doing LuLaRoe. So she moved back home with her mom, and they were doing, you know, she was like, I want you to do LuLaRoe. They had called me and said, can they talk to me? And I'm like, yeah, you know, what's up? And it was the lady. She was actually in the hospital, and she was in there with her doctors and everything. She had cancer, and it was bad. Like, it, the minute she found out, it just went downhill.
How's she doing?
She's doing pretty good. She no longer works for LuLaRoe, but she's doing pretty good. She's remarried. And
it's good to hear.
Yeah. So,
geez, I mean, there are so many stories like that in this company. And I feel like all of them end with, and they're no longer with LuLaRoe anymore.
pretty much. I mean, a couple of people still work there. And I get it, because they need their money and they need a job. But I'm just trying to figure out how the hell they still, like, how are they really even still up and running? How do you not know that you're part of a cult and a pyramid scheme?
Right, with the insurmountable evidence that we've provided to everybody, they still turn a blind eye and tell us that that's just our opinion and we're just
When I got with Brittany Hunter, and I had people saying, I want to be under you. Like, I already had, when I started out, I had about 30 people that wanted to be under me. So you take that and do the math. You know how much money you get for every person under you. So, and when I got my inventory, people just wanted to buy from me. So I had posted, my inventory was on the way. I even posted a picture with the UPS man. My shit was sold out by midnight. Jeez. So that $10,000 that Brittany spent for me, I made that triple in that one night.
And Brittany paid for it. So she got a big bonus chunk on that.
She got, her bonus check was big, because she told me her bonus check was big. They bought an RV and took the kids on a trip. I would too, because she made a shit ton of money off of me.
What is this?
It's a pyramid scheme.
So it was like, because she said it, she was like, people are just going to buy from you because it's you. You used to work in home office. So, and what I will say is, I have nothing bad to say about Brittany Hunter. She took very good care of me, her and her husband. I stayed at nice hotels. One of my favorite ones is the Mission Inn in Riverside. They are the bomb. Shout out to Mission Inn and their lobster.
And their lobster.
They Sunday brunch is on point. You know, if you're going to pay that $8.5.
Maybe one of these days I'll drive up to Riverside and you and I can go to the Mission Inn and have brunch.
Where is there so they can see you?
Yeah. I mean, I'm down for that. I am largely motivated by food. And if you say it's delicious, I have a car and I will travel.
I would literally get out the car and they would be waiting for me there. And I would be like, can I get a few minutes? Like, I literally just pulled up to the Mission Inn and they're like ready to go. Like, pictures. And I'm like, where did y'all, when did you see me even pull in? I got to the point where I didn't even have to drive no more. 16 kids, yeah. That's a lot of goddamn kids. Fruitful and plentiful.
I love you so much.
Am I lying?
No.
But I mean, hey, like I said, I worked for them. That was my job. I didn't say I believed in it. I just, $26 an hour is good money when you're there all goddamn day.
You seriously crack me up. I have a couple questions that I'm asking everybody at the end.
Yes.
And I'm very excited to hear what your answers are, because you are hilarious. You know, people think that I just say what I'm thinking. You have a whole other, I have a filter that you don't have. Like, you say even more things that I don't say, which I love.
Because it's the truth. I'm not going to hide nothing because y'all asked me to tell the truth. So I'm going to tell the truth.
100%.
Because they obviously not going to tell the truth.
I cannot wait. I cannot wait.
She knows it'll be a bunch of drama. I can't wait.
Oh man, I need like Orville Redenbacher to sponsor the podcast or something.
I know, because what's his name was like, when you do some press, he was like, make sure you come to me. was like, I want to be there. We have a PR team for you. And I was like, I don't need all that. He's like, I know, but I need you. I want you to have it.
You know, the funniest thing is the PR team. One of the people on the PR team is really good friends with one of my really good friends when I lived in LA. And he was like, isn't that such a small world? And it made me feel even better because this person, like, I absolutely love him so much. And to know that he's friends with this person that's taking care of us, like, just made me feel even more at ease that we would be taken care of really well.
Like, even some of the people from the onboarding team, they're like, we're so proud of you that you spoke up. I wanted to be like, but how come you didn't say nothing? Because you endured a lot of bullshit and you didn't say nothing, but they just can't.
I mean, they could have like a TV series that just goes on for years to tell all the stories of this company. And everybody,
I don't know if you guys, did you guys hear about the Zen room?
The what?
The Zen room. We had a Zen room.
No.
We had a Zen room. So
Zen room?
Yeah, we had the Zen room. It was nice though. Don't get it twisted. It was nice. They had really nice shit in there. So when we would onboard and we would be stressed out, like when you guys would call home office and stress us out, they put this room together and it was the Zen room and it was really nice. And for a while, it was a place for us to go after dealing with you guys, because you guys would call and be like, I haven't been onboarded and blah, 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 and stuff. So we had a Zen room. And after a while, it wasn't the Zen room no more. It was the room where you got cussed out, because it would be so much animosity in the office and people not wanting to do their part. It would be crazy. So whenever somebody got in trouble, they would take you in the Zen room. And I remember one thing.
Beat you with reeds or something? What happens in the Zen room?
We like try to, like, you know, we're not gonna put up with this, and you know, if that's how you're gonna be. And I would tell them, I never had to go in the Zen room, but I would let them know, you don't have to take me in the Zen room, because whatever you need to tell me, you could tell me right here and there. We're not going in the Zen room. But I never really got in trouble. Even when I had the hard drive and they asked me about it, I think they probably thought I was going to lie about it. And I was like, no, I do have a hard drive, because this is my job. I do this every day. And these are people, I'm taking $10,000 from every person that I talk to. So yeah, I'm going to know who I'm talking to.
Okay. So I have a question. What was like the craziest calls that you would get? Like, what are some of like the craziest stuff that you would get on when people would call to talk to you?
My first crazy call I got, so, you know, I would call and be like, hello, hi, good morning. And they would be like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, is this my call? And I would be like, this is your call. And they would be like, start screaming on the phone. And they would be like, oh my God, who is this? Who is this? Who is this? And I would be like, this is Shay. And then they would literally say, hold on, go pick up another phone and be like, I just want you to say hi to my friends, because I wanted you to onboard me. And I literally, they would put me on hold so I could say hi. They would have a listening party and they would put me on speaker just to say, hey, I spoke to Shay and she onboarded me. That's how crazy it would be.
It's the false celebrity is so strange.
That was crazy.
You're like, I'm literally a customer service rep. I don't understand why you worship me.
What I will say though, I knew it was a big hit. I knew it was big because I would go to when I would go out, I would go to the grocery store. I knew it was a hit then because I would go to the grocery store and I would go to like UPS to go mail stuff out. And people would be like this, oh my God, that's her. That's her. Just go over there. That's her. Oh my God, that's her. And one time I had a girl come up to me. She was like, are you Shay? Shay from LuLaRoe? And I would be like, yeah. She'd be like, oh my God, mom, I told you it was her. Can we take a picture? That's when I knew it took off. So that's when I knew it took off and I was like, okay, this is something. And then I came up with the idea. Everybody wants this, like, oh, I want Sawyer to onboard me, I want Keely to onboard me, I want Shay. So I came up with this thing, how about we come up with a Facebook account, and that way you can meet the team that you guys are go so crazy about, and it just took off from there. That's when I became, what was it? You guys called me the LuLaRoe fairy godmother. That's
where, yeah, the fairy godmother.
Yeah, everybody started calling me the fairy godmother and Facebook famous, and then it just went from there.
It's just, it's so wild. It's so wild. Okay, so I have these questions that I'm going to ask you. Are you ready?
Yes, I am.
Okay, one word that encompasses how you feel about LuLaRoe.
In or now?
Now.
Disappointed.
Yeah, disappointed works for me. A warning to somebody that wants to join LuLaRoe.
Do your homework. That's anybody. When you start a business, don't start a business because you see people say, oh, I made a whole bunch of money with this company. I'm not saying they didn't, because I made a shit ton of money with the company, but there was stuff that came with that too. So, I mean, if you want to join LuLaRoe, go right ahead. I'm not saying not to, but do your homework and you'll see for yourself. Because if you do your homework like you're supposed to, 9 times out of 10, at the end, when you find out what you're supposed to be finding out, you're not going to join them. So,
absolutely.
And if you do, kudos to you.
Yeah, if you find all of this information and you watch both of the documentaries and you read all of the articles and you still want to join, then that's on you.
Right. Drink the Kool-Aid.
What is your worst memory of LuLaRoe?
The monkeys was one of them. And then, so we had a girl. There was a girl that worked in there and she was part of the family. And before I got like my high position,
Megan was my boss. And she was so down to earth, really cool, but she was stressed out a lot. And we would have a lot of Deanne's people would pick on her, and she would be like, I would come in and she'd be at her desk and she'd be looking all sad, and I'd be like, Megan, girl, what's wrong with you? And you know, she'd be like, well, you know, I'm just so tired of them picking on me, and you know. And for a while she would say that, and she had took time off from work because they were picking on her. So one day when she came back from work, she was sitting at her desk and she was crying again. I said, Megan, girl, what's wrong with you? She said, they still picking on me. So I said, Megan, who picking on me? So of course it was Deanna's niece. So I went to her desk and I was like, what's wrong with you? And she's like, what do you mean? I was like, why do you always pick on Megan? She's like, well, she's behind. And I was like, well, of course she's behind. You're behind too, but nobody's picking on you. And she would be like, okay. And I would be like, so you're picking on her for what? And I said, well, check this out. I said, me and Megan, we're going to switch roles. So the rest of the week, I'm going to run the team. So everything that you go and you tell Megan, make sure you run it by me.
Oh, damn.
And she went and told Deanne, and they came to me. And I said, she asked me why I told her that. And I told her, I was like, your niece is a bully. And that's fine. I get it, because her aunt runs a multi-million dollar company. But what you're not going to do is you're not going to pick on the team. And I'm telling you that gratefully, with respect, because we're the team that brings you the money. So I'm not saying that her, not for her to do her job. Just keep her on in her lane. And she knows
what I was saying. Just stay in your lane.
Yeah, because Megan wasn't one of those. She wasn't feisty. You know what I'm saying? She wasn't one of those. But me, I want all the smoke. So Megan, you have a seat right here and I'll run it the rest of the week and we'll go from there. And she hated to bring me anything. So eventually she moved positions and, you know, it went from there. But they had a lot of bullying in there and I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all. And I saw it, but they knew who to bully and they knew who not to bully too. So.
Yeah. Jeez. Wow.
Ugh. Home office was something else.
What is the hardest lesson that you learned with LuLaRoe?
Letting go.
I think letting go is just a good lesson to have in general, you know?
Yeah. I had to say goodbye to a lot of people. And even when I left, they were like, since when you left, a lot of things in office changed. And, you know, and I knew it was going to change. I knew it was going to change, but I needed, it was time for me. Plus, I was already a consultant
And I needed to focus on that because now I'm no longer in home office. I'm a consultant. And yes, I didn't have to wait like you guys, and I did get the special privileges. But I had to focus on, you know, now I'm part of a team and it's time to get to work. But it was nice. I mean, they had a farewell. It was like, I have really good friends. So
I'm glad you had that good experience from leaving.
Yeah.
And then the last question is a positive takeaway from your time in LuLaRoe.
God, I have so many. Building a rapport with so many people all over the world. Before LuLaRoe, I mean, I had a lot of friends, but I mean, like, it got to the point where, because I worked in home office, people would want to have a pop-up show, and they would want me at the show, so they would fly me to their home so that I could be a part of their pop-up show, and they became good friends, and people had wineries and would say, come and bring, like, you and so-and-so come and, you know, be a part of that. And I build a lot of friendships like that. Like, I literally were staying in people's homes that had nice homes and going to a lot of places. I did go to Utah. I won't say who I went to see. But that is Mormon country town for sure.
Did you get to go to the ranch?
And BYU.
I did go. It was something different. I will say that. I went to a lot of parties. A lot of people that were tie-in, that were Deanne's family, actually lived in Norco where I live. So we were kind of neighbors, and the parties they would have would be, they'd be out there. I would say they do know how to party.
They do. And you know, every single LuLaRoe party that I ever went to reminds me of the movie Trolls.
Yes. Yes. And I remember when they tried to get Beyonce. Do you remember that?
Timberlake rumor.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, they tried to get Beyonce and they tried to get Justin Timberlake. Girl, Beyonce was like, if y'all shut up, let me be quiet. Beyonce wasn't fucking with LuLaRoe.
I'm happy to hear that. I hope Beyonce watches the documentary.
Yeah, they tried. I think they tried for a whole year to get her. Yeah, they tried for a whole year.
She's like, that's a scam. No.
She was like, that's a no. That's a hard no. So yeah.
She's like, you can't afford me.
Pretty much. Y'all making money, but y'all ain't making no Beyonce money.
Yeah, you're not making Beyonce money. You're making Katy Perry money.
They wanted her at Vision bad. And I was like, if they pull this off, they're the GOAT. I just didn't see them pulling it off because nothing that they did coincides with what Beyonce represents. I mean, yes, you guys all love her music, but.
Yeah, wow. I didn't hear the Beyonce rumor. I did hear the Justin rumor. And I think we ended up getting Katy Perry.
Yeah.
Guitarist in Katy Perry's band was the son of retailers at the time who are friends of mine who are no longer in. And that's how I got extra floor seats to Katy Perry for my team because they're like, oh yeah, I'll hook you up. No problem. I was like,
that's how I got my tickets to the Katy Perry concert. I got four of them.
They were just handing them out. She's like, oh, meet me in the lobby at the hotel. I was like, okay.
Yeah, that's how I got me, my team. I was just like, okay. So like I said, like they took good care of us and I reaped a lot of benefits from it. Like we would get fancy little candy apples and our bonuses would be cash, just straight envelope with your name on it. And they'd have a little ceremony and let everybody know what you did to achieve it. And that's just how it went. I got me an apple every time because I knew. I made sure I got me an apple every time.
I got one every time.
These apples were like $60, $70.
Oh, yeah, like the Harry and David ones, like the huge ones that are covered in chocolate, nuts,
yeah, those are the ones, like, everybody think, my friends are like, oh, I'm like, girl, that ain't no candy apple. I'm going to show you a candy apple. Yeah, those, the Harry and David, those were the ones we got.
And she would give me like a whole box of them. And you know, a box of those is going to run you a couple hundred dollars.
Yeah, it's incredible, like, to hear the different experiences of what home office was experiencing, knowing what the retailers were experiencing.
Yeah. And the gifts I would get were really nice from the consultants. I will say I love all the consultants because they were just so nice to me. I remember when I won't say who, but she sent me a Disney Dooney and Burke bag. Her whole team sent me, and it was limited edition, and I still have my bag to this day.
The only thing I got is when I hit trainer, it bumped the girl above me up to coach, and it bumped that person up to mentor, and I got a pair of gold teak slip-on shoes. That's all I got.
Oh, I got some gold teak. I got some of those, but I got a watch. I got some other stuff too. I got quite a bit. But the, I mean, like I said, like I said, they did take good care of me though. They did.
Yeah. You know. Well, you were a paid employee. They had to. Like, you could have actually sued them for being a horrible employer.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was good. My favorite hotel, I will say, since I work with LuLaRoe, the Omni Hotel, hands down, I don't care. The Omni Hotel was the best hotel.
I've been to a couple different Omni locations, and they're very nice.
Yes, they are very nice. So I will say, every time they sent me somewhere and every time I went somewhere with LuLaRoe, that's the only place I've ever stayed. So I will say that. The bus wow. ride is crazy, but the hotels were really nice. And meeting people, like, it would be so funny because all of you guys would be going there, like, to go so you could hear her speak, and we would be in the back, and she would call my name, and it would just go berserk, and they would be like, oh my God, that's Shay from Home Office, and it would just go berserk, and I would be like, it's not, but as time went by, I saw how much that I meant to those people, so that was another reason why I did the documentary, too.
Yeah, and I appreciate you doing it. I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, because people would fly out just to go, just to see us, just to hear me speak. And I'm like, they would be like, oh my God, can we have lunch with you? I came all the way from Florida. Oh my God. And I would be like, okay, yeah. Because you're like, you know, I'm just doing my job at that time. You're just doing your job. But as time went on, I really got to see how much I meant to people, and it was a big deal.
And they really took it seriously.
So where do the Westlands come in? That y'all saying that they were
Pyramids King, a cult? Oh, because everybody. So they, you would have to go. I have to show you clips. It would be a concert, and literally everybody would be, it would be hundreds of people there, and they would all be on beat, and it would just be like LuLaRoe, and everybody would just be doing the same.
Yeah, the chanting.
And
the, like, dancing on stage.
Oh, okay. Just let's be clear while we're on here now. Y'all never saw me dance on stage.
No, I was on stage. I was always up there.
I know.
Ridiculous.
I know. So I tried to stay low profile because after a while it got to be a lot. It started to be a lot. And then that's when security would come in and be like, okay, like, because we couldn't even eat without people coming up to us or wanting a picture or sign in, or they want to give me a bag of unicorn poop.
Just like rainbow colored marshmallows, right?
Correct. So it would just be crazy. And I'd just be like, okay. But as, like I said, as time went by, you saw that people really looked up to you, or it was something that people saw into you where they gravitated towards you. Because it got to a point where people would visit Home Office and they just wanted to see my desk.
Yeah, that's so odd. It and really was. There was so much like false idol celebrity worship within Home Office, like with Deanne and all of the and siblings.
People worshiped her. Like, people really worshiped Deanne.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. People would come to Home Office and they would bring
cookies and cakes and donuts because we would be there all day onboarding, and you guys would feel sorry for us because we're literally working 12 and 15 hour days onboarding you guys. And sometimes Mark would be like, anybody that stays over, it will, it's $100 bonus for every 10 people. So of course we were getting the bonuses plus the overtime plus our, you know, so we were making good money because he was like, I want you to come up with another way to onboard more. How can we onboard more? I was like, make another team. So then we came up with another. So we had two. That's when, and that's when it really took off.
Jeez. I mean, it really was a cult. It really was. It still is. It continues to be. I, with this, some of these posts that the former consultants that are pro LuLaRoe for some reason are posting, and the comment sections of some of these posts, it is filled with cult rhetoric. It is filled with gaslighting and manipulation and victim blaming. And it's really, really sad to see that some of these people are still stuck in that toxic LuLaRoe mentality.
Yeah. And I see that too. I see that. And I'm just like, how do you not see?
I'm like, why are you still defending them?
And then you're defending them, but the but I see the people that's defending them too, you know, they're probably taking good care of them too, because they swear by them.
I'm wondering if there's non-disclosure agreements or like disparagement agreements that were signed, and that's why they're pissing their butts.
When I was becoming a consultant, they was coming up with non-disclosure, a way to come up with it then. And that was when I became a consultant. And then, like, if you were, they had it so planned out. That's why I said, I give it to Mark and Deanne. Don't get it twisted. They did their homework and they executed it flawlessly.
Oh yeah, they created the perfect scam that covered their asses.
They
immaculately.
It was to the T. I mean, it was to a point where you could you couldn't like if we were married. They had rules with if you were a consultant, your husband, and they had it down pat. They had it, and it was
when my ex-husband wasn't super pro LuLaRoe, and I talked to Deanne about it and say, what should I do? She told me to find a new husband.
Oh, I know she did. She would tell people that all the time.
Oh wow.
She would tell women, I know, because women would come in there saying their husbands, they're arguing more. And she would say, if you have a husband and he's not going to support you for what you want to do, then you need a new husband. She would say that. That's true. So her husband ain't going nowhere because they done already did. They mess up and they done already left their significant others and snuck around town to be with each other. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
There's so much tea. I hope it's all covered in the documentary. I really, really do.
I think it will be. I'm sure it will be.
Well, your hair is looking amazing. I have been having so much fun watching her braid and weave your hair because that is a service that I do not do in my salon. I do not do that at all. I can't even braid to save my life. That is the only...
Wait a minute. I can't braid either. So don't.
That was the class in beauty school that I failed. They were like, you're very bad at this.
We have an aerobic hair show in December.
Send me the information.
I will. You know, you should come. They would be so upset.
Yeah, I just need to come around. And I mean, Daryl's like, we need to go to Miguel's and have tacos. And I was like, okay.
I loved it. They used to pick on Daryl in home office too.
I talked to Daryl already and he shared his story with me. And he's so vulnerable and so open. And
they used to pick on him. And I used to have to get with a program about picking on him because Daryl would take care of all my emails for me. That's how me and him became, because he started taking care of my emails. And I noticed that they would like pick on him and do shit. And I used to have to get on them about that. Like, everybody ain't like y'all. So just because somebody's not like y'all don't mean y'all got to pick on them and talk about them behind their back.
Yeah, so, Daryl's great. I'm so happy he was able to be a part of this because he missed out on the Vice. But I was very much like, you have to talk to Daryl. He knows
Daryl,
so much.
Oh yeah, Daryl knew. Daryl would get the emails. Daryl was there in the beginning with me too. I mean, like every time they were growing so fast, we were moving buildings and
offices every 6 months. She would go and be like, oh, I found the building. And we would, and she would have us go look at it to say, do you think you're, it's big enough for your onboarding team? And there would be places where I would go and I'd be like, well, you're going to need a bigger space because you have all these people. And that's how we started getting all those buildings. And that's why we had all those buildings, because we would grow so fast. We had nowhere to put home office. Home office grew overnight. And we had nowhere to put people. Like, we were sharing, I had people sitting next to each other. We didn't have desks. We just had tables. And I would have the IT team set it up. But then it got bad because then the fire department would come and say, Shay, you're going to need more space because you have so many people in here and that's too many cores. And it was so much. I was so busy, just busy. I never had time for nothing else. I had the money, but I didn't have the time to go enjoy it. Because if I wasn't at work, I was always traveling. And then we had vision. So that was another thing.
Well, thank you so much for calling me and talking to me. And I want to see pictures of your hair when it's done.
But I'll keep you posted. And then anything else, just let me know. And we'll go from there.
Awesome. I love you, girl. You're amazing.
I love you, too.
My son posted, he said, my mom's on Amazon Prime. Where's your mom at? It is what it is.
You're amazing. Cheers. I love you.
Enjoy. I love you.
You guys are awesome at the salon. I would totally hang out there for sure.
Okay.
Thank you so much for listening to Life After MLM. Please don't forget to like and subscribe and share with all of your anti-MLM friends as well. See you next time.